fullness of our hearts, we say thank you for the privilege. We ask that you would accept in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tried to drown me, flooded my life with misery, but God wouldn't let him. He wouldn't let him take me down. He rescued me to higher ground. Now that same old enemy tried to destroy me, yes he did, with fiery darts, Lord, that I could not see. Oh, but God wouldn't let him, he wouldn't let him get me down. He sent his angels. They were camped all around. Look at me now. I'm still here. I made it through. So have you. I've come through the fire. I've come through the flood. I'm still here. Kept by his love. Now that same old enemy tried to devour me, yes he did, clouding my way so I could not see. But let me tell you, God wouldn't let him, he wouldn't let him take me down. In spite of it all, I'm still heavenly bound. Look at me now. I'm still here. I made it through. So have you. I've come through the fire. I've come through the flood. I'm still here. Sometimes up, sometimes down, almost level to the ground. Sometimes right, sometimes wrong. But I'm praying my Lord will help me be strong. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. Kept by his.
touch yourself and say, I'm still here. I'm still here. In Jesus' name. Lord our God, we thank you for the gift of prayer that you've given to us, that we may communicate our thanksgiving, our gratefulness, our appreciation for your goodness to us. We come now at this time of proclamation. We pray, our God, that your servant's homiletical skills will be in place, that the power of the Almighty God will fall afresh on the preached word. Open our hearts that we may receive. Open our minds that we may think clearly. Order our steps in your word, that the paths that we take will be ordained by God. Thank you for looking beyond my faults in days past. Thank you for forgiving me for my sins of yesterday and even today. Bless now your call upon my life, that what I say, what I do, will be pleasing in your sight. Honor me now as I seek to glorify your name. In the name of Christ, our high priest, who is now seated upon the throne on your right, making intercessions for us. It is in his name that we pray. And the people of God who love God said amen. Amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah. Share with me, if you will, from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we find these words that Paul has written to the church at Thessalonica. He introduces himself in the first verse of chapter 1 as Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shares with the people of God at Thessalonica that Timothy is with him. And he says, we greet you in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. He comes to that third chapter, verses 1 through 5. And he says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful. Can I say that again? But the Lord is faithful. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil? And we have confidence in the Lord's touching you, that he both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God and unto the patient waiting for Christ. Now turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 20. If you do not have your Bible, or if it's quicker for you, take the Pew Bible and turn to page 380. Page 380 in the Pew Bible. And we're going to read responsively from verse 1 to verse 7. I will begin, and I need you to help me now by reading alternately. People sitting in the pew, would you please take the Bible, turn to page 380, and tell your neighbor, I'm going to help him preach today. Y'all not walking with me. I'm going to help him preach today. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. And it's found in the Red Bible or the Pew Bible on page 380. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus says the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore, and it came to pass that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus says the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord.
I will.
Verse 7, and Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the board, and he recovered. Touch your neighbor, tell your neighbor, neighbor, just pray. Come on, y'all not gonna walk with me. Just pray. The answer to every problem can be found in prayers. Mahalia Jackson, a great singer, sung, I have found the answer. I've learned to pray. Prayers. Prayers are more than a AAA card. You know, we use our AAA card for emergencies. You should pray when there is not an emergency. Sometimes we use, think of prayer as a national anthem. It gets things started, but it has nothing to do with the end. Can I tell you something? If you pray and you be faithful in your service, God will take care of the rest of the game. Are y'all here with me? When I look at how good God is, I think that God has given us the medium of prayer as a way to communicate with him. We've heard that prayer is divine communication between God and man, a man in God. It is the spirit in which we pray that helps God to understand our needs. He knows our needs, and certainly he understands our needs, but for him to address our needs, we have to address him. When I look at that model prayer, that prayer that is recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, it begins by helping us to look at the tenets or to look at the attributes, to look at what prayer is and how we should pray. The disciples had witnessed a man praying, and they turned to the Lord and say to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." The reason why they wanted to be taught how to pray is that because they had seen and they had heard and they had witnessed Jesus the Christ praying. And they were his disciples, and the word disciple means follower. And they were to follow him in all aspects of his ministry, in all aspects of his life. And so they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And this is what Jesus says to them. When you pray, say, "Our Father." Give God the glory. Give God the honor. Give God the recognition of his sovereignty by saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Pray, "Our Father," but also pray for your daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. I wish I had time to talk about our daily bread. It's not necessarily the bread that you get from HEB. Our daily bread can be a salary that comes through our retirement or through our work. So he says, pray for your daily bread, but also pray daily for the forgiveness of your sins. For he says in Matthew 6:12, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." When I look at prayer, I think of prayer as God talking to us as we talk to God. It is, as I first stated, prayer is communication with God. We pray to God and not to man or to woman. We pray to God and ask God for what we want. Sometimes people overhear our prayer, or sometimes we pray to people thinking God would answer. Oh, help me somebody. A boy prayed. His mother had put him in bed, got him ready for bed, and she said to him, "Little Johnny, don't forget to pray." She walked out the door. Little Johnny started praying. He prayed and he prayed and asked God for what he wanted. And then all of a sudden his voice rose and he said, "God, God, God, I want it." His mother opened the door and said, "Look, God is not hard of hearing. You don't have to yell at God." He said, "Yes, but God's not hard of hearing, but Grandma is. And she's the one that has the money to buy the bicycle." Oh, y'all missing it. When we pray, we don't have to yell, but we have to be sure that God understands what we want, and we have to understand that God uses human agencies to provide for our needs. Oh, y'all missing it. Have you ever prayed for a loan and sit down at your house and waited for the loan, and something told you, "Go to Frost Bank and apply for the loan and wait on God and wait for Pat Frost or somebody else to answer the prayer that you prayed"? I like what the little boy said. God's not hard of hearing. I understand that. But I was talking to Grandma too. Grandma has the money to to pay for it. To whom do we pray? We pray to God. We pray to God. The boy prayed to God for the bicycle, but Grandma answered the prayer. On Christmas Day, he had his bicycle because God overheard, Grandma overheard, or Mother overheard, and took it to Grandma and said, "Little Johnny, prayed to God for a bicycle and told me that you were going to answer God's prayer." There's a message there. Second Baptist, when people pray to God and ask God for something in this worship experience, you and I ought to get busy helping God to do God's work. We ought to be busy trying to make that prayer come to a reality, because God uses, thank you, people to do his will. So we pray to God. But who do we pray for? Every person that you meet is a divine appointment and an opportunity to pray. Have you ever heard anybody say, "Pray for me"? I was pastoring in Dallas, and I shared it this morning. Pastoring in Dallas at the First Mount Zion Baptist Church. I was only 20 years old. I could not vote. I could not even perform a marriage. I couldn't sign legal papers because I was 20 years old. But I could preach. Ah, yeah. Y'all missed it. I could preach. This old lady, Amanda Phillips, whenever I got up to preach, she would say, "Robert," not Reverend Jimerson, "Robert, I'm praying for you." I would say, "Thank you. Thank you, Sister Phillips. Hope the deacons are too. Hope everybody else is." Then I'd get bogged down in the sermon, and she would say, she prayed, "Help him, Lord." I didn't want that. I don't want. Now, if y'all say, "Help him, Lord," I know I'm not doing too well. Every now and then, we need someone to encourage us by praying for us. And when we're not doing well, we need to hear them inviting God to assist us in the ministry, whatever that ministry is. "Lord, help him. Lord, help her." When we pray, God hears our prayers, and we should pray for others. Paul in this text says to the people of faith, "Pray for us." Moses prayed for the people of God. Jesus prayed for his disciple named Peter. In Luke chapter 22, and at 31st through the 32nd verse, Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, I have prayed for you because Satan wants to sift you like wheat." Can I help somebody here? Every now and then, God allows Jesus, who's sitting on the right hand of the Father, to make intercessions for us. When Satan comes upon us to sift us like wheat, we have an advocate. We have a high priest named Jesus the Christ, who intercedes on our behalf. And so we pray for others. That's why the songwriter wrote, "Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind." Goes through a litany of people who prayed. The preacher prayed for me. The deacon prayed for me. My mother prayed for me. My father prayed for me. And then We've added a new verse that says, you pray for me. We need people who know the art of praying to pray for us, to pray for your church, to pray for your pastor, to pray for the missionaries, to pray for all the people of God, to pray for the kingdom of God here on earth, that his kingdom would come in the lives of individuals, in the life of every person. Secondly, pray for situations or for causes. Have you ever received something in the mail from the American Heart Society asking you for a gift, praying that you would respond in a positive way? Many of us take it and bolt it up and throw it in the trash, failing to realize that God has sent you a message to give or to pray for, or to be concerned about a cause. Church in New Jersey sent me a letter, had Pastor Robert Jemison come, Doctor Ministry. Inside, I opened it up and it said, "Dear Bob, our church is celebrating 100 years of proclaiming the word of God. We have been on this corner for 100 years. The church has grown and we're engaging now in a building project as we celebrate 100 years of ministry, 100 years of proclaiming God's word, 100 years of visiting those who are in prison, 100 years of clothing the naked, 100 years of visiting the sick, 100 years of being God's agent in this city. Can you help us? We'd like for you to send us $500. I said, this person don't know my condition. Said, we're not asking the church to do it. We're asking you to do it. They put a trip on me. I looked at the name. I said, this church doesn't know me. But when I saw my classmate's name from Virginia Union University, School of Theology, 50 years ago, I met this guy. And when I met him, guess what? He didn't talk. He didn't play. He didn't socialize with us. And so I said to myself, why would I send $500 to a person who didn't speak to me when I was in seminary? But guess what? God puts us in positions that we can meet the needs of persons that we do not lack and persons that do not lack us. Folk we don't lack and folk that don't lack us, when they have a need, all of a sudden we become their friends. Is there anybody here that ever had an enemy that you did not lack who talked about you? Then all of a sudden they needed something. And you said, I'm not going to give them a dime. I'm not going to do anything. But guess what? God moved on your heart and said, I'm not going to treat them like they treated me. He is. You can have it because what I have, God gave it to me. And if you need it. So Jackie, write the check. Give his name. No, I don't write it to him. Write it to the church. He said, the church needs. Second Baptist has needs. And you have the resources that can meet the needs. You saying, I'm going to see who else going to help. I'm going to see whose name goes on that list. And I'm going to give after the program is over. Can I help somebody here? You may not be alive when the program is over. Give while you can. Bless the Lord, for the Lord has blessed you. Knock down, praising God. Can I help somebody here? Give to a cause. You remember Esther, don't you? Esther, that beautiful queen, hair black as 100 midnights, waves in her hair greater than the Gulf Coast. This woman was beautiful. She was a fine sister. Man, the king needed a wife, and somebody say a cousin, somebody say an uncle. I don't care was it cousin or uncle, but he positioned her to where she could be a blessing to her people. King looked at her beauty and said, that's the one. But it was not just her beauty, it was her personality. We have a lot of beautiful people, beautiful looking women that ain't got no personality. We got a lot of handsome guys and broad shoulders, some tall, some short, some fat, some skinny. And they think that they own the world. But can I tell somebody, and can I tell you beautiful women and you handsome men, that you don't have nothing on God. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein. She was good to look at, but deep down, God had a plan for her. Married the queen, the king. The Bible says that the enemy of the people. Can I help somebody here? Everybody got an enemy. The church has an enemy. His name is Satan. And Satan got some imps. Satan doesn't come with horns and a long tail. He comes as the best dressed. He comes as the best looking. He comes with money in his pocket. He comes to rob, to deceive, and to kill. But I like what Jesus said. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. She got wrapped up in her beauty. So the devil comes, and he comes, and he says to the king, all these folk in here, they don't care anything about you. There are Jews here, and we need to annihilate them. We need to snuff them out. She forgot her place, but guess what? There's always somebody that's working for God. Yes. Her uncle, a cousin, whatever you want to call him. He goes to her and says, Esther, you need to go see the king. Talk to the king about what this wicked man has said. Let him know that he signed this decree that all Jews should be put to death. You don't have to tell him that you're a Jew. Woo! You don't have to tell him you want us. Just do God's will. Go in and tell him. Guess what she said? It's not my time to go in to see the king. It ain't prayer time for me. But, and he sent a message back to her. It says, look at here, girl. Look at here, sweetie. Look at here, most beautiful. Look at here. Let me tell you something. If you don't do God's will, he'll raise up somebody to do his will, and your name will be wiped out of the book, and no one will remember Queen Esther because she failed to do God's will. God has a way of talking to you that'll make you get on track. And she said, I tell you what, y'all pray for me, and I'm going to see the king. If I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the king. Can I tell Second Baptist something? If I perish for preaching God's word, I perish, but I'm going to see the king. If I perish for trying to live right, from trying to do what God tells me to do, I perish, but I'm going to see the king. One glad morning. And I'm going to see the king. And so she goes in, and the people are saved. Finally, quickly, I said we were going to be there in the first half of the Cowboys game. I'm almost there. The final point I need to make is pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray for causes. Pray for situations. But then pray for yourself. Now, some people only pray for themselves. They don't know anybody else. They pray, Lord, bless me, myself, and I. But can I tell you something? That's a selfish prayer. And God has heard it, and he may address it. He may bless you. He may send someone to take care of your cause. But there is a way of praying for yourself that ensures that God will answer. When you look at Hezekiah, the Bible says that Hezekiah prayed to God. It says that he was sick unto death. Oh, that's hope there. He's sick unto death. That means that death has not arrived at his doorstep and snuffed out his life. That means that his covering, his quilt is not his winding sheet, and his bed is not the cooling board. He still has breath in his body. He has enough breath in his body and enough sense to address his situation to God. The Bible says he was sick unto death, and that Isaiah came to him and said to him, get your house in order. You have a little time left to make out your will and to put Second Baptist in the... You have enough time left to put your... Is that all right, Sister Woods? You have enough time to put Second Baptist in your will. He was sick unto death, but not through death. The Bible says that he turned to the wall. Can I help somebody here? You got to forget your past. You have to forget your status in the church, your status in the world. Turn your back on everything. Look to the wall and tell God all about your spiritual work for him. Look at what he said. Lord, I have been faithful in singing in your choir. I have been faithful as a deacon. I've been faithful as a trustee. I've been faithful as an usher. I've been faithful as a pew member. I have kept the faith. I should not die at this age. Not only have I been faithful, but when other kings went and served idol gods, I built up your sanctuary. I built up the altar so the people could have a place to offer sacrifices and to call upon your holy and divine name. I'm not ready to die, and I should not die because of the work that I've done for you. He goes to God in prayer, praise. And before the man, Isaiah, who brought the message that he was going to die, before he could get out into the courtyard, God changed his mind and sent him back and told him, go back and tell Hezekiah that I've heard his prayer, I've seen his tears, and I am a God who's a mathematician. I know how to add. I know how to subtract. I know how to divide. Rather than subtracting from his life, I'm going to add 15 more years. If you want God to hear your prayer, just be faithful. Just build up the church of Christ. Just do God's work, and he will bless you. 15 more years of service. I close with this. I'm going to watch a football game today. Dallas Cowboys playing somebody. I don't know who to play. Miami. I like to think that that's a victory already, but you know God works in mysterious ways. When we think we got it, God says no. But when I watch that game, I'm sure that there will be a play in that game where the coach will not lack the play. And so he's going to reach in his back pocket. JJ, he's going to pull out a flag. He's going to throw it on the field. The referee, the umpire, line judge, they all will see it. One will pick it up. And he'll say, look, that was a touchdown. And you said that it was not a touchdown. But I need you to go back and let a little box and look in that little box and see where his knee hit. I want you to know that the ball was over the line, that it is a touchdown. And though you said it wasn't a touchdown and it looked like the game was over and we were not winning the game, I want you to look at that flag, take it up, look at the play, and you will reverse your call. My team is going to win because God reversed the call. That's why Hezekiah got 15 more years, because God reversed the call. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought you couldn't make it, but God reversed the call? The doctor said it's all over. Call in the family, but God reversed the call. When I look back over my life and see from whence I've come, when they said he won't be anybody, go be just like his daddy, go to college, won't finish college, but guess what? God reversed the call. And I can tell the world that I found a blessed Savior. And he's in the world today. And he's sweet. I know, is there anybody here that God has reversed the call? They said he was dead. In a borrowed tomb. Friday night, Saturday night. But God reversed the call. Last Sunday morning, he gets up with all power, heaven and earth, in his hands. I'm so glad that he reverses the call. Throw out your red flag. You'll discover that we all are winners because God has given us the medium of prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. And all the people of God said, amen. Let the church say amen. Standing. Come on, choir, sing. All that I am,
because of him. He's my joy, he's my sorrow, he's my hope for tomorrow.
Eternal and everlasting God, we thank you that you've given us prayer that we can use in our prayers, words of protest, flag of protest, protesting against sickness, against selfishness, against the sin in our lives. And so we thank you for reversing the call. We thank you, our God, that you allow us to pray for others, to pray for situations, to pray for causes, but then to pray for ourselves. And so we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we pray that you would dismiss us, that we may tell the world that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Dismiss us in the name of Jesus. He who died that we may live. Dismiss us in the care of your Holy Spirit that walks with us and tells us that we are the people of God. In the name of Christ, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hey, Deke, how you doing?
Thank you.